In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on Luis and the Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 2, and we are on page 7, and it's at the bottom of the page, or middle of the page, excuse me. Volume 29, 531, 1931. Therefore, in order to have our greatest works, our way of acting is to begin first alone, one-on-one with one single creature, and when we have formed this one, we make her a channel in order to enclose in our work two or three more creatures. Then we, Triune God, expand, forming a little group, and then we, Triune God, expand it so much as to take the whole entire world. So here we are. This is exactly where we are at this point. God is bringing about something so magnificent, so beautiful, and not to be discouraged when you present the divine will or Luisa to someone and they say, no, I've got my own devotion. And you say to them, well, this is not a devotion, it's a way of life. And they go, no, thank you. And it's okay. This is the divine will. Everyone's going to live in the divine will sooner or later. Right now, Jesus is saying, I gave it to Luisa, then I gave it to the priests around Luisa. And then he says, and then I give it to others, and then it goes to all the world. And the entire world is going to possess this gift. So what is God asking of us? He's asking us to get into this gift, to read, to study, to put this into practice. When Jesus says, be attentive, it's read. I, Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. I want to bring to you the divine truths, divine secrets, divine realities that will make you so happy. It'll make you so joyful that you'll have heaven on earth. You'll be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. This is what the Lord has planned. So he's looking at us and he's saying, I'm working on you. Now, a lot of people say, well, my spouse doesn't want it. Well, of course, God works on one spouse at a time. Until you're what perfect, God can't do anything. The two of you are one, you know, with the sacrament of marriage. And what Jesus is asking is, will you do this? Will you live this so perfectly? Will you enter into this so deeply that your spouse will instantly possess it? You're doing the work. And thank God. You know, I mean, Jesus is teaching you. Thank God for that. That means there's great hope. There's great hope for you, great hope for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. There's great hope in reading and studying and putting this into practice. How much our God loves us. How much our God, he's such a good and loving God that the face of the earth is going to be transformed. The kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Luisa Picaretta and the divine will, is the new way of living. And what does that mean? To be really Catholic. Not a cafeteria Catholic, but to really begin to live this Catholic life. You know, in the divine will, Jesus teaches us to do what the saints have done, to live this Catholic life. The saints, you look at the great saints, and they really were faithful to, and they spent their whole life learning what Jesus taught Luisa in volume 1 through volume 10. Because if you look, he says this is doing the will of God. And then once Jesus gets to volume 11, he says, this is what it means to live in the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. No saint ever got that close to that. You know, John the 23rd prayed for a second Pentecost. Pope John Paul II prayed for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a new and divine way of holiness. And now Jesus is giving us volume 11 through volume 19. It is so deep that every time you read volume 11 through volume 19, there's Jesus speaking to you, teaching you, guiding you, leading you, directing you. That's what Sacred Scripture said. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will reveal to you all truths. He will remind you of everything that I have said. This is the book of heaven. This is what Louisa spent her entire life writing for us, for the kingdom. So what Jesus is saying is He's looking for us to give our fiat in all situations, so that then we could go to volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Father Niebla didn't have that. He didn't read all of 20 through 36. He died years before that was completed. Yet Jesus is asking us to receive this gift, and he's asking us, he's pleading with us, would you please be attentive? Read this, study this, put this into practice. Our Lord has got great, great plans, and He needs us. He needs us to live this for our family. He says, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. That's what He says to Louisa. We want this. We want our family saved. We want our nation. We want the world. We want everyone to be in heaven. Jesus says, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. Don't limit God. Don't say, well, God can't do this. They're too far gone. No. God is going to produce events and situations that He says to Louisa were never heard of, never even thought of what's coming. So our work begins in isolation, in the isolation of God, and isolation in the soul. And the work ends by God continuing, continuing our life in the midst of, Triune God committing its life in the midst of entire peoples. So, God began, let there be light. And it was isolation of God. The fiat lux, let there be light. And then, with Mary, you will be the mother, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. And now with Louisa, and we are the ones that God has predestined to live at this time. He says very beautiful things to us. He says, every page in the book of heaven is a promise. Every page. And He continues to give us promise after promise, fulfilling promise after promise. Remember the three promises to Abraham that we pray in the Canticle of Zechariah every morning. Freed from the enemy, that's when Christ was crucified. We were no longer slaves to the devil. Free to worship God without fear happens every day at Holy Mass when the priest puts the host up and says, this is my body. That is God Almighty. We fall on our knees adoring God Almighty. And then he says, God says that the third promise is you will be holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of your life. Who alone is holy? God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Who is righteous? It's only God. And he says, we will be in God's image and likeness. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now with this book of heaven, we enter into God's likeness as much or as little as we want. What does that mean? 30, 60, or 100-fold. I have to give you what you want, Jesus says. He says very clearly, in the end, the continuation of God's life in us. That's what's coming. You know, a lot of people forget that. This is why people don't like religion, or I should say, the faith, is because they don't see anything. My uncle's this, my aunt's that, my neighbor's this, my neighbor's that, my teacher was this, my teacher was that. So God is saying to us, you know, in a way that's so beautiful, He's saying, I want you to begin to live an abundant life. And He says, God says, I'm giving you the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. And you say, but no one's living it. And this is the thing that you have to understand. Adam possessed this gift before he fell. Jesus and Mary possess this gift. This is their life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. The only other person that possessed this gift and still possesses it is Louisa. And God is saying to us, I want you to be linked to Louisa so I can give you this gift. I want you to be one with Louisa so that you can possess this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. So when I talk to bishops and priests, when I talk to the religious, they look at me and they go, I haven't got time for one more thing. And you go, but this is not one more thing. Oh, yes, it is. It's just another saint, another devotion. No, it's not. And I can't convince them. And Jesus says to me, are you going to let it go? And I could say, how can I? This is everything. Then he says, then you have to begin to live this for them. And then they will possess it. It's just like the spouse. You have to begin to live this so that your spouse can have it, your family can have this. And they will mock you, they will ridicule you, they will laugh at you, they will spit at you, because the human will is so strong. Jesus is saying to us, I want you. I have chosen you from the beginning of time to live at this time. I predestine you to live at this time because I need you to do this. You have been chosen to work with Louisa. And that doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. It's because we're nothing. We're absolutely nothing. We're not famous. We're not, you know, we're not millionaires. We're nothing. God goes, that's what I want to use. I want to use nothing. And then when we begin to read, everything changes for us. You know, I've always said this, you can always tell the soul who's reading the divine will. They're happy. Why? They're in heaven. The book of heaven brings you to heaven on earth. You're peaceful, joyful, and happy. Your worries, fears, and anxieties, complaints, negativities, and sins are gone. What God is bringing to you is a new beginning. So he says this is what's so beautiful. God's life is going to reign in the midst of peoples. So right now, the divine will's life is reigning in the midst of your family. You have changed, whether you realize it or not. The things that would bother you are not, they don't bother you. It's you know, the tears. Oh, woe is me, pity me, is not there. Why? Jesus is there. And Jesus is gazing and you're gazing. Jesus is listening and you're listening. Jesus is praying and you're praying. And when your family comes to you, it's not who you used to be, it's who you are right now, who God is calling you to be. Image and likeness of him. So it says, and when there is the beginning of a work of ours, a divine beginning, it is a sure sign that it shall not die at birth. At the most, it may live for some time, but then it shall go out and shall have its perennial life. This is the beauty of eating the first bread. We have the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And when we go to Holy Mass, and hopefully it's every day if it's possible, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Jesus is with us in communion with us. He enters into the Holy of Holies of our soul, where no one is allowed in but you and Jesus. You can allow the Blessed Mother in. You can allow Our Lady in. You can allow your angel, your guardian in. You can allow Luis in. And then begin to praise God and love God and glorify God and worship God for that 15 minutes. But Jesus is saying, I want more than that. See, the Catholic life, I want it so beautiful, he says, that we will have a perennial communion as Adam had before the fall, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. And that's what he's teaching you. He's teaching you right now to walk with him. Let him walk with you. He's teaching you right now to be peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy. How can you be filled with joy? Jesus is with you. He's gazing and you're gazing. When you're with your family, you're looking at them with love. You're looking at them with Jesus. Everything's going to change. You have to understand, I really do believe that 100 years that the Lord gave to Lucifer through the vision of Saint Pope Leo the 13th is that 100 years is over. And Jesus is saying to us, do you want more? And we go, yes. He goes, okay, enter into this gift. You will help me, one with Louisa, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It will begin with you, within your family. It'll begin in your parish. How? By you being so peaceful, joyful, and happy. By you possessing this perennial life of God. See what happens. What Jesus is teaching us, little by little, and again, nobody's living fully in the divine will yet. The first one has to be the Holy Father. That's what we find in the third appeal. What Jesus is asking of you is he's saying, are you willing to go this way? Are you willing to climb this mountain? God's got great plans. Sorry about that. And he needs us to give our fiat. Lord, whatever you want, let it be done as you say. I surrender. So what does he do? He takes things away from us. When he sees that we are willing to do this, he starts taking things away from us. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners are the first to leave. Why? Because they don't want the journey that you're on. They don't want this perennial life of God. They want their own life. They want to possess this gift of gifts, their way, and it's not God's way. And so they ignore this gift of gifts. And again, so why is God allowing that? He's saying, I want to be alone with you. I want to work with you into such a degree that you will become in my image and likeness so that others can as well. Now, that doesn't mean that, like I said, this isn't going to happen overnight. For example, when the writings came out in 1996, that was the first time that people who were reading the Divine Will at that time had the opportunity to read 20 through 36. And what's so beautiful about that was for us, it was until 2005 where we had all the 36 volumes in English. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? It means that it's going to be so magnificent of what God is doing that he has to be alone with us. We spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We spend time looking at God and God looking at us. This is what's so wonderful. This great gift of the divine will is to begin to live a life that is perfect. Yet none of us are perfect. We're not perfected yet. But when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if we don't have Eucharistic adoration, if you don't have the monstrance, if you don't have that, one of the things that's great is you have savior.org. You can go to your internet and turn on your screen, and you have the opportunity of spending time with Jesus every day. That is Jesus. Hidden. He's there. And see, Jesus is the Word. And that Word speaks to us. We hear God speaking to us as we read. And there's this one man, he was a Jewish, you maybe have seen the video. He was Jewish and he found Our Lady in a dream. And he always was wondering about the Holy Spirit, and he says, what Our Lady did, her voice is so beautiful in heaven, he said, more beautiful than her. She's so magnificent, but her voice touches our soul. See, the Word, she's the mother of the Word. And he asked Our Lady, she says, do you have any questions? And he said, yes, what is the Holy Spirit? And she gazed to heaven. And she says, the Holy Spirit is the gaze of the Father. Now think about this. what Jesus and Mary have brought us to is to hear God. You know, you receive your faith by hearing the good news. What is Louisa bringing us? Louisa represents the Holy Spirit. We find this in Volume 17, May 4th, 1925. That's so powerful. Louisa brings us the gaze of God, the Holy Spirit. Do you see? Our senses are beginning to hear God and see God and smell God and taste God and touch God in a way that the saints didn't have. They got glimpses of this. But no one lived this perennial life. So Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, do you know what I have in store for you? I haven't even shown the angels about this. It's saved for you. It's saved for that generation, that second generation of the children of light. Jesus says this, and when there is a beginning of a work of ours, a divine beginning, then it is a sure sign that it shall not die at birth. At the most, that it may live hidden for some time, but then it shall go out and have its perennial life. We should rejoice in this. You have the book of heaven. We should be rejoicing. We should be celebrating. We should be so honored that out of all people that ever lived, Jesus says, this is the book I would have given to Adam if he hadn't have sinned, and he would have taught it to his children. But he says, I had to wait until I redeemed mankind and Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now he says, 2,000 years later, we have Louisa. And he says, now, watch what I'm going to do as the Word of God. Watch what I'm going to do. Then he says this, therefore, always forward, march on, march forth, always forward, march forth. That's her entrance into heaven, march forth. Always forward do I want you, Louisa, and us, march forth. It's so wonderful that our God has given us this opportunity to be so one with him that even the word march forth, the day she died, is a promise to us. Therefore, forward, march forth. We're going to go through what Louisa went through, but not to the extreme. What Louisa went through, Adam was not to eat of the fruit in the center of the tree. And what did Jesus say to Louisa when she was 17? Go to bed and stay there. Then what did he say? He said to her, I don't want you to eat anymore. Then he said to her, I don't want you to drink anymore. Then he said to her, I don't want you to sleep anymore. And Louisa was obedient. But what did that help her do as the newborn, the firstborn in the divine will? It taught her that the divine will is everything. It's worth everything. He's saying to us the same thing. He's saying to us, I want to fill you with everything. Go forward, march forth. Don't slow down. Climb that mountain. There was a movie, Ignatz, I think I saw that back in the early 70s. And, at the end of the movie, it was, no one said it would be easy. This is easy. It's not giving yourself to worry, not giving yourself to anxiety, complaining, negativity. It's to say to Jesus, I trust you. That's what we've learned from John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning that's coming. And he's looking at us. He's pleading with us. Do you know what I have in store for you? He says this. Do you know what I have planned for you? Can you have any idea of how much I love you? That I, God, would have chosen you, predestined you to live at this time. I, God, have predestined that you live at this time. I, God, have called you by name to live at this time. And he's saying to us, he's pleading with us, begin to live this abundant life. Please begin to live this abundant life. So he says this, therefore forward, march forth. Louisa gave up everything. to have this gift. Now Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to give you what I gave to her, as much or as little as you want. And we say to Jesus, I want everything. I want to know every truth that you taught Louisa. I want to put into practice everything that you said to Louisa. I want to be so close to Louisa, Jesus, that when you look at me, you see Louisa. You see her obedience, her love, her dedication to you, Lord. See, it's Louisa's not another saint. She is the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. He says, forward, I want you to live in my most holy divine will. I want you to possess my holy divine will. I have planned from the beginning of time that you are different than all the others. Not that you're better, but this is what God has planned. That's why I pray every day at Holy Mass for all the souls who must live in God's holy divine will. So volume 29, 7-2, 1931. And when I see that the creature has given herself at the mercy of my divine will, but so much that my divine will was able to change the divine goods into her nature, my words, Jesus is speaking, resound in that soul with my creative power that give the maternity as her nature. What did Jesus say? Who is my mother and my brothers? Those are the ones that do the will of the Father. When I see that Louisa has given herself to the mercy of my divine will, this is why we have the divine mercy. We had to have it first. But so much that my divine will was able to change the divine goods into her nature. This isn't human. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is divine. My words, again, Jesus speaking. As we read, we're hearing Jesus speak to us. My words resound in the soul with my creative divine power that give the maternity to Louisa as her nature. And that's what God wants to give to us as well. What he has given to Louisa, he wants to give to us. Now again, no one is there at this point, and it's understandable. Why? Because the man isn't here yet. The Pope. And that's why we pray for the Vicar of Christ on earth. This is why there's such anger inside the church and outside the church against the Holy Father. Because the all feminism is against the man. I mean, all unauthentic. Unauthentic. Those that are not real. True feminism is Our Lady, the humble maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. This false feminism is to go against the man. And the final stage of feminism is to destroy the man. And who is the man but Jesus Christ? And the Vicar of Christ represents him on earth. And what's happening is nothing to complain about, but to pray for. Why? It's a new beginning that's coming. We are going to possess the maternity of Mary. We're going to possess the paternity of the Father. It's not to be God. It's not to be Mary. But this is who they are. And we're going to possess that. Jesus, his title is Father of the Age to Come. We are going to possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So that's what he's saying. He's saying very clearly, my creative power gives the maternity as her nature. God wants to be held as Our Lady held Jesus. That's why for Christmas, you should have a baby Jesus to hold. You know, it's not just a little teeny thing that you put in the center of your hand, but you should have a baby Jesus, like the one that the Pope carries during Christmas Eve Mass, like the one the Pope brings to the cradle, the manger. And how can I not repeat my two mamas? So here Jesus is saying with Louisa, you are the firstborn. You're like my mother. When I speak, what I say becomes a reality, is in reality. Do you see what God is doing with this book of heaven? As we read this, he's changing us. He's transmuting us. Little by little, the Lord is bringing about a great new beginning for us. How glorious is this? How magnificent is this? It's just, it is so wonderful. When I, God, speak, what I say is in reality. That's what's happening to us. As we read this, and again, the whole book, you must know, study it. This is Jesus. You have to understand this. You have to know this. To be attentive is you have to understand what I'm calling you to. It's going to become a reality. He said that in the last one. It becomes your this perennial divine life becomes yours. This communion, this perennial communion, is what God wants. He says very clearly. And is it perhaps not true that my mama is mother to me according to the order of nature? And is also mother to me in the divine order, and by virtue of the divine will that she possessed. Okay, so here Jesus is showing us how this is going to happen. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? The one who does the will of the Father. He says it very clearly. He says, and is it not true that my mama is mother to me, according to the order of nature, but also mother to me in the divine order by virtue of the divine will that Our Lady possessed? Had Our Lady not possessed my most holy divine will, Our Lady could not have been mother to me either in the human order or in the divine order. So what you're seeing is God elevating mankind to have the image and likeness of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Do you see why your family's going to change? It's not you screaming like a madwoman or a madman. It's not you losing your temper anymore. It's Jesus is there. You're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You begin to understand the concern of your family and your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers and your parishioners. You know, what does a mother say to her child? It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. A mother gives hope. And again, Christian hope is certitude. Everything's going to be okay. If you're on the way to God, if you're studying, if you're wanting God to be in charge of your life, everything's going to be okay. A lot of times, a true mother in the divine will say, you've got to go back to confession. When was the last time you went to confession? You've got to go back to confession. A true mother would say, you've got to spend time with Jesus. If you want to be happy, you're not going to be happy on your own. That's misery. You have to go back to Jesus. It will be okay. Our Lord has great plans. He has great plans. So how can you become a true mother of Jesus? Well, listen to what Our Lady says in her apparitions, what she said to Juan Diego, what she said to Catherine Labouré, what she said to Sister Agatha, Agnes. Listen to what she says. Listen to what she said to Melanie of La Salette. Listen to what she says to Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. Everything's ready. Everything's ready. Our God, he's in a hurry to get this kingdom on earth as it is heaven, but he's waiting for us to catch up. Jesus says this. Had she not possessed my will, she could not have been my mother to me, either in the human order or the divine order. Oh, how many things the divine will knows how to do in the soul who lets herself be dominated by the most holy divine will. When you do your prevenient act in the morning, Jesus is saying, would you get out of the way? I've got things to do. And it's, Lord, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I want to pray this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that your kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Please, Lord. God says, it'll be done as you say, as you pray in the divine will. Don't limit God. Don't say, well, it's not going to happen, because God says, then it can't happen. You don't want it to happen. You don't believe that it'll happen. Scripture says, ask, believe that you will receive it, and it is yours. The little children of the Holy Divine Will are filled with great confidence, great trust in God, And that's what he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to live this life. Listen to this. How many things the divine will knows how to do in the soul who lets herself be dominated by the divine will. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. Prodigies unheard of, miracles never before even thought of are going to happen. Use that relic card of Louisa. Use that relic medal of Louisa. There's great things in store for the little children of the Holy Divine Will. The Divine Will knows how to make the divine order descend into the human, and the Divine Will converts the divine order into one's own nature, image and likeness. That's what God has planned, image and likeness. So he's asking us, will you be willing to do this? Will you be willing to allow me, the Lord God Almighty, to reign in you to such a degree that your family changes, your nation changes, the world changes? Study this, read this, study this, put this into practice. He says very clearly, and it makes, the divine will makes of the soul such portents as to astonish both heaven and earth. Your guardian angel has been chosen by God for you to help you in this time. Are you praying with your holy guardian angel? Like I said, the holy of holies of your soul, only Jesus is allowed. God, triune God is allowed there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you were baptized, you're ontologically changed. Only the triune God is allowed there. You can invite the Blessed Mother as your mother. Mary, Blessed Mother, Virgin Mary, come within me. Reign in me as my mother, my queen. Then you ask Louisa, you were Jesus' second mama. You have to become my little mama as well. Come, reign in me. Teach me, lead me, guide me, direct me. And we say to our Holy Guardian Angel, Holy Guardian Angel, Jesus has given me to you, you to me as my brother companion for all eternity. Help me, lead me, guide me, direct me. One of the things that they say in Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels, is to their guardian angel, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. We are stubborn. We are in charge. And God has some place to go, and he wants to take us there. And if we're stubborn, you have to say to your holy guardian angel, treat me as you would a stubborn mule. Beat me. Get me moving. And I can guarantee you, if you're not on the way to holiness, God will allow certain things to happen to you that will help you to get along the way. I've told you this before. You know, I had to break my back not once, but twice. Don't be stubborn. Don't say no to God. And see, again, the Word of God is speaking to you. And what Louisa wants to bring you is the gaze of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Read volume 17, May 4th, 1925. You have to understand what this is all about. It's a new beginning for mankind. You know, you think about it. All the minerals of the earth are gone, they say, that's in the soil. There's no more minerals in the soil. What happened? How come there was? Isn't God a good planner? He's an excellent planner. We were only going to be here for 6,000 years, and then the soil is empty of minerals. Why? We don't need them anymore. Why? The kingdom is coming. It's the same thing with what's happening in the parishes. There'll be a lot of parishes closing. Why? Is God abandoned us? No. He's going to give it to those who want it. He's going to give the Catholic faith to those who want it. Why? Because he's ready to transform it, transmute it, so that everyone will be able to live this life. Read the last chapter of volume 24. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The Jews will be converted first. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants. Everyone will become Catholic. The great miracle that's coming is going to... Everyone's going to say, I want to live this Catholic life that Louisa possesses. Again, you can be negative and you can be angry and you can go against Holy Mother Church. God isn't going to stand in your way. What did Our Lady do? Was she angry? Was she furious at the crucifixion? No, not at all. She was peaceful, joyful, and happy in her sorrow. We're going to go through some tough times. It's the reason is the kingdom is coming. And Jesus calls the kingdom, it's like giving birth. He says this giving birth is very painful. Pain comes more and more quickly as the baby gets closer and closer until the baby's born. He says that's the kingdom as well. That's the return of Christ as well. It's a new beginning that's coming. Read the 36 volumes. Now, what we're focused on this year is the calendar. Now, all of us are reading the calendar. Okay, why? It's like the readings we have at Holy Mass. Everybody in the world's reading the same readings, whether it's the Latin Mass or it's the Novus Ordo. Everybody's reading the same readings. God is talking to each and every one of us collectively. He's bringing about a new beginning. As you read the calendar every day, reading what Jesus said, why this day is so important, everyone's changing. Everybody, do you see what's happening? He's setting the world on fire because of this gift. This is so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Therefore, Jesus says, these portents are going to astound heaven and earth. Therefore, let yourself be dominated by my most holy divine will. And I, God, shall make the sweet word resound in you. Jesus is speaking to us as well. My dear mama, whom my fiat keeps for me on earth. My dear mama, whom my fiat keeps for me on earth. We are keeping the fiat. Everything is fiat in the divine will. Everything is yes, Lord. Please, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fiat. You only can be happy in the divine will if the fiat is always on your lips. Fiat. Yes, Lord. Fiat. Yes, Lord. Let yourself be dominated by my most holy divine will, and I, God, shall make my sweet word resound in you, my dear mama, whom my fiat keeps for me on earth. Are we, Jesus' little mama, keeping the divine will, as he says, keeping the fiat on earth for him? Okay, so we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.